And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Sorry, we were going to like ask, because we don't know what the quality of the mic is like over Skype, if you guys wanted us to record it locally.
Oh, no, you guys sound fine.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus that leads to like a whole lot more work on my end, which is just, I'm way too lazy for that.
Fair enough.
What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
And I'm Pappy.
This is the SML Podcast, episode number 178. We have two special guests with us today. Would you fellas like to introduce yourself so I don't butcher your names?
I am Keithan.
And I'm Aaron.
And we are two members of Monothetic working on Beacon.
For those who haven't heard about it, Beacon just was introduced only a couple of weeks ago. You had a post pop up on the Xbox Wire, and people have kind of been losing their shit over this game.
I don't know if I go that far.
And like everyone I've talked to is like, wow, this game looks awesome. So for those who haven't heard about it, give us the sales pitch on it.
I've repeated it the last week.
So. Yeah, this is Keithan's mantle right now.
Beacon's a sci-fi action roguelike. You've crashed on an unidentified planet. All you have is your clone bay and your weapon. So what makes us unique is every time that you die, instead of just being a hard reset, you can use death as a tool and reintegrate DNA you've collected from dead enemies into your next life.
Interesting. Very, very interesting.
And we're done. All right.
Good job.
So that was a good chat about the game. What have you guys had for dinner tonight?
Mince.
we are working at a game company.
Where did we go for lunch?
Jimmy John's.
Jimmy John's.
Oh, he's never been there because he's from the UK.
Yeah, I've been on a great exploration of US food over the last 2 weeks.
How much weight have you gained?
I think a bit, for sure.
Well, we went out to eat breakfast now that they've the taken other day.
You... Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, okay, yeah. So I do eat a lot, but we went to the Grove, which is in sort of like central San Francisco, and I had like Eggs Benedict, I had a carrot cake, I had a soup and like two drinks, and everybody else, like all of the other colleagues and friends who are American were kind of shocked by my appetite.
So I'm going to ask, now that they've taken you to Jimmy John's, when are they going to take you to a good sub place?
Oh.
Ooh.
Burn.
Miller's.
Yeah, I'm a little harsh with my
Jimmy John's
pre-mix.
Is simple, though. I haven't found a really great deli in San Francisco, though. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, well, one, yeah, you always want the mom and pop delis, but I don't know, I'm kind of spoiled. I'm right next to a Firehouse Subs on one side. And like seven other little mom and pop shops on the other.
How are you not fatter than me at this point, really?
Because I am legally mandated to work out 3 to 5 times a week.
Oh yeah, military, that whole thing. I'm so legally mandated to stay away from schools. Aside from that, I don't have any kind of restrictions.
All right. So you said you were from the UK, and
yes.
You've just been in San Fran for the last 2 weeks. So have you just moved there, or are you just there to help for now? Or
I flew over once we found out we were exhibiting at GDC. I kind of scrambled to get like all my visa stuff sorted so I could actually – I've never been to GDC before, so this is like a great opportunity to fly over, meet some of the team. I've met a few of them before in person, but it was like the remaining members. And, yeah, just – have my first GDC, have fun, look around the city for the first time, basically.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I know a lot of people who live in San Francisco and go to GDC, and I've been wanting to get there, but I don't have the ins for an actual ticket.
Yeah, so, one day our show is going to be important enough to get us there.
Yeah, it's super expensive. Like the flights and just the last couple of weeks have completely wiped me out financially.
I believe it. Well, just, yeah, I mean, we joke about moving to San Francisco work all the time because, If for some reason the military puts you there as like a recruiter or something, it's $3,200 a month for housing.
Jesus.
And that's enough for what, like a one bedroom?
Yeah, about
a studio. You get a studio apartment.
You could get a studio for maybe a little bit under $2,000, and maybe.
Yeah, but if you want to rent a house, you're going in with two other guys.
Oh yeah.
Oh god, yeah.
Meanwhile, in Sawyersville, Pennsylvania, we're paying like $650 for a two bedroom.
Wow.
It's so much nicer out here. That massive living room, plenty of room for my five stupid cats.
Hey, dude, I pay $950 a month for the privilege of having an elephant live upstairs.
Well, now that they're out of the circus, they need somewhere, so don't be racist about it.
So I wanted to ask, I actually hit your website, Monothetic, and I went to your roster, and I did have a quick question. Is one of the rules for getting hired onto your companies to have a very different name? I see three, like a Joe, a Jonathan, and a Michael, and after that, it's, you know,
just random letters thrown together.
I'm not even going to try her name.
Company. I also have a weird name, though. I'm just a normal white person, though. I just have a weird name.
Yeah, and I was going to say, my name, like Aaron, is a very normal name, but I have just a weird spelling of the name Aaron.
Yeah. I mean, I can't. I can. I'm not knocking you guys.
Yeah, you can't talk. Yeah. Taras Boutre.
And that's why I go as Pappy, because it saves a lot of time introducing myself to the guests.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's like B-U-T-R-E-J. What the hell?
It's not French, damn it.
Yeah, we have a fairly international team. So, yeah, Tay, who's our sort of creative director, he's from Thailand, and so is Ploy. So, yeah, they've got very complicated last names, especially.
Yeah, I know when I first contacted you guys about coming on the show, and I heard back from Keefin, I asked like what time zone you guys are in, if we could work with that. And he's like, oh, I'm in California. I'm like, well, fuck, I wouldn't have figured that with a name like Keefin. I figured it was like in Sweden or something.
I think my last name's Austrian. My first name, though, is just random.
Is it? Have you looked into the history of your name?
There is no history of it. I think it's a mix of my dad and my brother's name.
Oh, okay.
Kyle and Stefan.
The only people who know how to even pronounce my first name are just old enough to remember an old movie called Taras Bulba, starring Yul Brynner. So if you're under the age of 60, then you've never heard my name before.
Well, in our days, your name, Taras, was in a movie.
Yeah, with a really, really white guy playing a Russian Cossack, but...
Hey, that works.
I mean, it's still... someone on my Facebook feed is now posting under the name, like, the actual legal name of Brand New Being in one word, so...
What?
Yeah, I don't even ask anymore. Yeah.
So. I kind of want you to ask now. What the hell's up with that? Brand New Being as a just a first name?
Yeah,
Brand New Being N-U. Jones.
Can't be legal.
I think it can.
Well,
the first name is Gucci. The middle name is Brand
New. Oh, that's okay,
God.
Then.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a friend whose legal full name is Mustin. That's it. He
yeah,
went
but
the
he's
whole
been looking into changing.
Like Dustin
has
with
he?
An M?
Yeah, pretty much. Mustin. Has he been looking into changing it?
Yeah, because no last name is a pain in the ass when you're doing anything in the federal legal system.
Just blanks.
Yeah.
Just so, first name
anyhow.
Mister, last name Mustin, as he usually does.
Yeah.
Dustin for your Mustin.
Oh, so how did GDC go? What did you guys do out there with the game?
Pretty good.
Yeah, it went real. No, come on, it went really well. Yes.
I mean, you're on our show, so it had to have gone pretty good.
Oh yeah, this is the pinnacle of success right here.
Yeah.
No, it went really well. We were part of Xbox's ID Xbox
Loft event
showcase.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was demoing depressed the entire day. They would only let me in two, one member of the team, just because the size of the space. So
yeah,
that was my first time doing anything like that ever, just presenting depressed for 8 hours straight.
And on the, not even on the first day, but the setup day, you had the teams just come up and like film you. They're like, hey, can we get a video? And they're like, okay. I guess.
How's it been working with Xbox so far?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, they've been really supportive of us so far. They just contacted us out of the blue like 4 or 5 months ago.
That's great.
Yeah, they we don't know how they saw the game, but they obviously saw it somewhere. And they were like, hey, would you consider bringing it to Xbox? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, we're definitely game for that. And then they sent us some dev kits. And sort of towards the very end of the year, they also mentioned like, oh, we'd like some games at GDC for like an event we're doing. Would you guys be interested? So I went for like a whole process of like doing a video and a demo for them. And yeah, we were successful. So last Tuesday was super awesome. We were demoing alongside games like Superhot and Below and
Subnautica.
Yeah.
Damn.
Ring Test.
Yeah, it was a pretty big event. Bill Spencer played the game.
Oh yeah, I kind of insulted him as well when he walked up.
Do tell.
Yes, you're gonna have to mention this now.
I'm one of the few team members who doesn't really follow E3 and anything super closely. So I know who Phil Spencer is, but I didn't know him on site. So he walked up and I knew he was going to be there during the day playing, but I didn't know it was him when he walked up. So he came up and I was already playing the game and I was in the treasure area, which is the most difficult section of the demo right now. And he said, hey, can I give it a try? And I said, sure, just let me restart it. I'm in the difficult area. And he said, oh, is that supposed to mean something? And I just said, yeah, it means I'm better than you at it. So, and he just moved past it and started playing, and it went pretty smoothly then. But
oh my God.
I kind of realized while I was playing, oh, this is probably Phil Spencer, because they kind of get the vibe he's kind of someone higher up.
Did he laugh it off, or did he make a comment about it?
I think he kind of laughed it off. I don't remember. He wasn't upset, though, or anything. He enjoyed the game and had some good feedback for us, too.
Yeah,
he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who'd go back to his team after the show and be like, oh, yeah, those
guys.
Pull
their dev kits. Fuck these guys.
Yeah, fuck those guys. it's a great anecdote if we bump into him again, though.
I told you sucked at our game. Remember? Called you a scrub. How you doing?
I have a question. Since you guys spent so much time presenting at GDC, recent podcast, Joe and I were talking about our time at a convention called MAGFest that also has an indie area.
Oh, yeah.
And we, I mean Joe, spent a lot of time there talking to the devs, playing the games and stuff. And we did notice that a lot of devs seem to be very unprepared with human interaction.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any like recommendations for that for people who might be listening and want to actually present their games?
And have to talk to human beings?
Well, I'm not personally that great at casual conversation with strangers, but what really helps me is just having very clear talking points on the game itself.
Yeah,
having like concise things to bring up and mention.
Yeah, like knowing your game inside out, I think, helps a lot. Like, if you're going to be demoing your game, you need to know what to say, when to say it.
You can't be repeating yourself constantly, stumbling over when you're trying to describe a mechanic or something.
Yeah, I know some of the people I dealt with at MAGFest, like their game was really, really interesting. And I would stand there watching either someone play it or it was on demo mode or something. And I would stand there waiting for them to be like, hey, have a seat. Are you interested in the game? Does it look cool? And they would just stare.
Yeah.
And be like, you're trying to sell your game to me and get me interested.
You need to have an opening to bring them in or something.
I think it's maybe, I don't know, for some people, they're just, very nervous or awkward with, like talking to normal people. I think it's something that you can at least practice at the more you demo your game. I do remember the first time, like when we demoed last year at EGX, because that was a brand new experience of like showing the game to the public.
Yeah.
You don't know how, like, also, like, every individual is different. some people just aren't interested if you try and talk to them and, like, you know, mention how the game works and stuff like that. But it's something that you learn over time and get better at, and just you find yourself being more casual with. Like, yeah, there were loads of people behind, say, Keithan when he was demoing games. One person, I'd chat to them, so say, oh, hey, here's the game, you know, here's our card, this is what it's about.
You want to make them feel included, even if they just walk up and are looking at it. You don't want to just sit there and stare and hope they play it.
Yeah, I figure like a good opening line is like, hi, what's up?
Want to give it a try? Like, that's all it takes. If they seem interested, then give them the quick elevator pitch and go from there.
Yeah, or like, oh, you know, you're interested in the game. Do you want to know more about it? Like, it's not that difficult to, you know, get people engaged, because I think also with our game, we're quite lucky that it looks interesting from, like, as a spectator. So it automatically engages people. So it's quite easy for us to then, you know, reel them in with the pitch and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, even at MAGFest, I had the one guy, I forget what the game was because it was longer than like 2 days ago, so I automatically forget everything. And every time I would try striking up conversation, because obviously it's on a PC because that's how everything is demoed these days. And my lead question when I'm playing stuff is, are there console plans for this? Because we're a console heavy show, Xbox in particular, clearly. And I like to find out right away if this is something I'm eventually either going to be buying or looking into buying down the line.
Yeah.
And I, you know, first thing is like, you know, are there any console plans for this? And they just kind of like shrugged and mumbled. And from then on, everything I asked was just like a basic yes or no. And when I was finished with the game, he handed me like a pin, a card, and then like didn't say anything. Just it was like an assembly line of like, you sat down, you played my game, goodbye. There was very little actual conversation.
That just sounds like, I don't know, that person was just not really interested in, you know, getting the word out there about the game. Like, I try, anytime we put out media, like, especially with the trailer, I would, you know, go to every single website and reply to comments and, you know, give people feedback on any, like, queries they had or questions. Because, you know, I don't know, I care about the game, I guess. I think when
That's
you
so
show
weird
that,
that you care about your game.
But like,
it could also just be anxiety, though.
Yeah, no, I mean,
in
that's,
that case, you
that's
might
want
to have someone else demo it, or you need to push past it.
Yeah,
that's
for the game. I think that's just very, you know, ingrained in the game, you know, games industry. Is a lot of introverted people that don't have normal, you know, casual interaction with strangers, especially. I don't know. I don't really suffer from that because in my day job, I'm a bartender, so I need to talk to people every single day. So
And I'm with you. I know people like to get into their passion and they want to do it, but with something that requires sales for success, like game development, you either need to, like you said, push past your anxiety or get with somebody who can help you out. Hop up front. I'm the same way. I've always been a fan of talking to people face to face and just, you know, random shit. You can't get me to post online to save my life other than, you know, random tweets, but you get me face to face, I won't shut up.
He's really good at talking to people, which is why he left me to talk to everyone at MAGFest while he was off doing other shit.
Talking to other people.
Yeah.
I was off talking. I was, well, yeah, that one was me catching up with our friends, and you were actually like, oh, hey, I'm going to do what we came here to do. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be like headstrong and proactive this year. I don't know why, but just something got into me.
Yeah, you're right.
I cared for a weekend.
if you can talk to people, and this is honestly in any engineering type profession, my job in the military is very similar. You know, we repair and calibrate equipment. Okay. So if you can talk to people and actually communicate, you can go a lot farther than your peers.
Yeah.
Just, you know, because you have that sick social skill.
Yeah, and it leaves a better impression. You know, if you show that you're enthusiastic about some aspect of the game in any way, that comes across a lot stronger than if you, like you're saying, you're mumbling and you just hand out a card like it's nothing. Like, you need to show that you really care.
Yeah, that might have been that kid's pride and joy, but his anxiety got the better of him, and
yeah,
he didn't have to get around it.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's what I mean with talking points as well. It's easy to get past that if you just have clear points that you remember. Like, what platforms is it on? Oh, we'll be on Xbox One, PC, and Mac, but we're planning to go on as many platforms as we can. And that's it. Just say
what engine are we on? Explaining the engine, blah, blah, blah. You know, like...
I don't ask boring stuff like that. I don't know anything about technical stuff, so I don't even bother trying to get into that.
I just noticed that 80% of all games are made with the Unity engine.
There's a lot of blood in this game. I like that.
Yes.
How do you make it splatter so much? Well, there's this graphics engine. No. Just say things happen.
Yeah, like even goofy stuff. You know, you can't be as prepared for that, but it breaks the ice a lot more. Like, how many jibs do you have in the game when you splatter enemies? And I think we have like 3 to 5.
My question is, why is it so hard to shoot those damn little blobs before they attach themselves to your face and explode?
Pre-alpha.
I think they're meant to be kind of squirrely as well, how they move.
Yeah, they do the dodge mechanic
squirrely
as well.
Shit, yeah. One hit kills them. Just get that one hit was an adventure.
Maybe you just got to work on your aim.
Stop sucking, Happy.
Are you playing on a keyboard or a controller?
I played on a keyboard and mouse because for some reason it refused to acknowledge the controller.
Okay. That build that we sent you guys was fully controller supported, that we worked on that for GDC, and
yeah,
all the keybinds were set up for controller. I forgot to mention, so if you were using a keyboard, hopefully you figured out, it's not Y to use, it's E.
No, I didn't figure that out. No.
In your
I
face.
Figured out how to move and aim and all that. My copy was a little janky. I think it was either my computer messing with me or you know, I missed something in the I don't know. I missed something because it never gave me the menu. It just cut right into the game. The controllers wouldn't cut in for about 10 seconds. I just had to stare at the screen before I could actually interact. And then, fun. Once I figured out how to move and shoot, I had fun. I mean, don't get me wrong.
I had none of the issues he had. Like, my controller worked for me. I had a menu. I couldn't run it on anything besides basic because my computer is like a potato. But yeah, I had it on basic on the lowest resolution, and it ran okay for me. So
performance is an issue right now.
Yeah, we've not really done any outside playtesting.
It's a very early pre-alpha build.
And optimization work, yeah, we've not even started on anything.
Yeah,
I didn't
get upset at all because Joe told me, hey, this is a build.
Yeah,
you know,
this is like GDC super preview. Like, this is still
this is
a game, a good year away minimum?
Yeah, so it's a rough-ass build.
Yeah, and for what you guys have, I enjoyed it, you know. And
that's good to hear.
Yeah, we're not going to judge based on pre-alpha stuff.
I already judged it. I reviewed it. I put the review up 2 days ago. You guys got a 3 out of 10.
Dang.
Damn.
Yeah, because it was funny because mine ran perfectly speed-wise. I didn't have to drop the graphics or anything. It just didn't want to let me control my guy. So between Joe and I, we got a full view of what happened, you know, what the game's like.
Perfect.
It was definitely a lot of fun, though. I am definitely going to keep my eyes on this in the coming months to year plus. Like, what kind of release window are you guys looking at with this?
Early 2017 right now. It depends if we can get any publisher support. We've been completely self-funded up until now, so we're looking into getting maybe a bit of funding now and bring more members on full time.
Yeah, like as I mentioned before, like my day job is as a bartender, so hopefully some sort of funding or publisher support will alleviate that and, you know, put more of the team on the project.
Have you guys had any talks with Microsoft about maybe landing an exclusive with this for some funding?
Very loosely, that it was mentioned when we were applying for the ID at Xbox event, but no serious talks yet.
Yeah.
We need to spend a couple more months polishing our build anyway before we're ready to really look for some more support.
Yeah, we've had like conversations and meetings with a few publishers that have approached us. But again, we're kind of scoping things out right now because we want to be absolutely sure we're ready and we have something, you know, really decent to show to them.
Well, that's also fantastic that you know that there is interest out there. So that's got to take a little bit of the stress out.
Yeah, it definitely does, for sure. It's a relief that, you know, people are chasing us up and that they like the game. So, yeah, it's good.
That's cool to hear.
I had another question, and then it's gone.
Oh, man.
He's good at this. That's why he's my co-host.
And speaking of which, Joe, they doubled the dose of Adderall.
Yay.
And they're going to see if that helps.
Great.
Adult onset ADD.
That's what America needs.
Hey, at least I had to do a battery of tests to prove it. I didn't just go to a doctor and say, hey, I can't pay attention. Oh, here's drugs.
Yeah. Oh, your dose. I thought you meant the dose in general.
No, God. I mean, we might as well just dose the water supply around here.
It might help. You never know.
San Francisco.
I'm in Vegas, so it's 100%. They need you to be unfocused. That's why all the free beer and everything is going on. Because, you know? If you pay attention, you'll realize that you're broke now.
Yeah, so Pappy's hopped up on Adderall. I'm hopped up on ice cream cake for my birthday last week. So.
Oh. Oh, well, I had about 30 mints.
Jeez, that's a lot of mints.
They're tasty. Very minty.
Nice.
Ethan loves his mints.
I was going to say, is this an addiction? Are you like one pack of Altoids a day kind of person?
Maybe a third a pack a day. When we were exhibiting, definitely a pack a day.
Oh, Altoids, you got to just crush those up and snort them. You can't fuck around with Altoids. Gotta
only
go
if they
or
were
go
the
home.
Tangerine ones. I don't sell those anymore, though.
Can't imagine the burn of snorting an Altoid. Jesus. Oh. Yeah, no, I do. I got one of my favorite questions to ask, and I'll break this one pretty early in the interview. When you guys aren't working on polishing your game, what kind of games are you playing, either for inspiration or just to chill?
If I have any free time in my life, usually like short form games. So whether that's stuff like narrative games, like I don't know, Firewatch was one of the last games I played. Or my current addiction is Devil Daggers. I don't know if you played that or heard of that before.
That sounds awesome though.
It's kind of like inspired by old school Quake movement, like FPS movement. But it plays like a wave-based game. It's like kind of like Geometry Wars. And it's got like this amazing low-res pixel art style.
It's very simple. You have one attack. The arena is just a pit of darkness.
Yes. And it's like a one-hit kill. You die instantly, basically. It's super, super tough, but it's incredibly addictive.
Yeah.
I have a feeling I heard of this game. I'm trying to look up an image of it quick.
Pretty recent.
I just watched the video.
Oh, that game.
Yeah.
Isn't that the one that's like so hard that only one guy in the world has the achievement for beating it? Or like lasting 10 minutes, something like that?
Yeah. I think, how long have you lasted? Like 6 minutes? 7 minutes?
My current best time is like 385 seconds, which is pretty good. But like I think the top players have got like over 500 seconds.
God.
That's how I know it's not a game for me when the best gamers in the world have still counted in seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, that after so long watching that game, it was just like a flood of enemies and I had no idea what the hell was going on.
Looking on Steam, 1,044 positive reviews, 41 negative. I like to think all 41 negative reviews are just idiots who are like, I didn't realize what I was getting into.
Yeah,
all the reviews just say, fuck this game.
It is super, super, like, I've never had it before of a game where, like, at a certain point when you get, like, the second upgrade, it gets really intense, not just the sound and the amount of enemies, but, like, it feels like I'm on the verge of, like, having a heart attack. It's just, yeah, like, I feel like I'm holding my breath to survive. It's crazy.
Jeez.
Damn. Yeah, that game looks insane.
You're in an arena, and things awesome. Come at you, and holy shit.
I love the visuals of that game, though. That was the one thing I took away from watching that playthrough, is it just the visuals are cool
the
as shit.
The sound design matches it perfectly.
The sound design is probably the most incredible thing about the game, actually, more so than the visuals. Like, it's so important. You couldn't play the game with music because it's so important to know exactly from the sound cues where the enemies are in position, like around the arena, so you can kind of like use threat management to take down the most scary ones first.
So I'm guessing this is like a headset required kind of game.
Yes, for sure.
And you need to be 3 inches away from the monitor.
Holy shit. Yeah, I'm watching a 1 minute playthrough and it's like, it gets this intense within 60 seconds. Yeah. Yep. No, if this is your bag, then awesome. I'm staying the fuck away.
I now really want to interview the guy who made that just so we could force Pappy to play it.
You would.
Quick, someone gift Pappy that game on Steam.
I think the guy or one of the guys that made it worked on Dust Force is like the main project or something. But that would make sense. But I think they might be expanding it to use that because they basically wrote a whole custom engine for this game specifically. So maybe they'll branch out and use it for something else with that art style.
That'd be cool.
Dude,
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
But in terms of other games, we played Rocket League last night.
Right. Otherwise, I'm pretty pathetic, and I just played Dota. Dota is also my side job. I submit items to the workshop, so I don't branch out much. I've been playing a little bit of Gears of War lately as well, the remaster on Xbox One.
Oh, the Ultimate Edition?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I need to do more... more video games with friends. I just need to finish school so I have time.
You have school.
That's my biggest problem right now is the thing that you find out when you work on games is you have no time to play games. So I can't play any sort of large AAA games because there's just literally no time to play like a 50-hour campaign. I'll play like 5 hours over the course of 2 days and then forget about the game. And then try and get back into it like 4 days later and just be like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know what's going on.
I feel like I have to play those kinds of games like 5 hours a day to stay in them, like Fallout especially.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I haven't even picked it up since I started my last two classes because I know I need to spend the next 7 hours doing homework. Let me just take a 30-minute Fallout break. Yeah, that doesn't happen.
No, yeah, exactly.
Got half the quest done.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah, so I pre-ordered Quantum Break, and I'm like, man, I can't wait to play this May 1st.
Uh-oh, you have those cars.
Yeah, because I know I can't start it until I'm done with classes. You know, it's just...
Yeah,
it's that you. The only way for me to prioritize is to just not play, which has been annoying Joe a little bit because I'm doing like one game a week and he's reviewing like 70.
Yeah, I'm at this point where I'm reviewing pretty much every game that comes into our show anymore.
Oh, jeez.
And
six more weeks, Joe.
I'm still staring at Far Cry Primal on my shelf. Like, don't worry, baby. Gosh. One day, it's okay.
Oh man. No, yeah, I think the last big AAA game I played was Metal Gear Solid 5. And I don't even know if I finished that game.
I didn't. That game's just too big for me to finish.
I've replayed Fallout 4 times. I've only beat it once. With those really big games, you get that sense of completion before you actually finish the story.
Yeah, yeah.
I never even finished the main quest in Skyrim. I just...
Neither did I.
I wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah, I killed the dragon, and I thought I'd finished the game, and then like months later, someone's like, "So which side did you choose?" I'm like, "Side."
What? I killed the dragon.
I killed the last dragon. I killed all the dragons. There's no more dragons. Isn't that the whole point? It's like, no, dude, you gotta like pick a faction. Oh well, fuck that.
You're not gonna tell me how to play the game. You don't tell me what to do. I do what I want. You don't know me. I think the most time I've spent in a game recently was Strangers of Soar City that just came out on the Xbox One, and it's coming out next month on the Vita, like a first-person dungeon-crawling RPG. And just, again, that was another game I had to review, and it's just so difficult that I needed to just grind for hours and hours on end to feel like I could make some progress in it. And I still feel like I could spend days playing that game still, but...
Joe gives me the games that I can get a well-formulated opinion within 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Take this Steam game. You can beat it in 2 hours. 45 minutes later, yeah, I've played enough of it.
You beat Firewatch?
No, I got the pre-release copy, and it ran terrible, and they admitted that they had some issues getting the game to run on all PCs. So they've patched it, but I haven't gotten back to it because I started class. So.
Okay.
I still enjoyed what I played, you know, throwing the radio in the lake because of those
radio
two teenage ladies.
Really cool.
Yeah. I just really enjoyed that they said I had a small penis, so I threw the radio in the lake. And I'm like, this is fair.
Yeah, they know you.
Paying teenagers.
Paying teenagers. I'm just playing the part of a cranky old man who's up there because he wants to get away from the world. You know, I'm role playing.
Yeah, true role playing game, true RPG for you.
Hello, it is Harry Crane, the voice actor, his Mad Men character.
Yep.
Great reference.
The last, like, kind of very similar to Firewatch, but 2D was Oxenfree. That was another recent game that I played.
How did you like it? I heard a lot of mixed.
I quite liked it. It wasn't like this super scary game. It kind of just reminded me of like old, like 90s kind of PG-13 horror films, where it's kind of got an element of like terror and, you know, horror.
Like Gremlins?
Kind of, I guess. but like, I was really impressed by the dialogue mechanic, which was, it was all real time. So all the conversations you could like basically interrupt at any point. Like, it didn't wait for you to, you know, formulate your response. You could just pick any time. So you could just bump, like, interrupt into people or just not respond at all. And they kind of, like, pick up on that. Mm. The music was amazing, I thought. I really liked the art style. There were some elements of it that were a bit cumbersome. Like, navigating the island was really unusual. It took a long time. And the map was kind of very strange in its design. But I liked it overall. I thought it was a pretty decent game.
Yeah, that's one of the games that we actively heard a no, you can't review it answer on, which was kind of a bummer for me because I was excited about that one. But
usually
well.
They just ignore us.
Yeah. I like
the wall of silence from Games Workshop right now, I'm assuming.
I like the walls of silence more than a no, go away.
And you can just pretend that maybe they didn't see the email.
Yeah,
well, they must be familiar with your work at least if they gave you a hard no.
From what I heard, they were just like even a lot of big places weren't getting review copies for that one.
Oh, weird. Well, okay.
Who was it that got back to you and said that we had to have a certain like listener base before they would consider?
I'm not going to call anyone out on the.
But someone has actually that's been said before.
Yeah, like, someone was like, "Yeah, you need like 100,000 YouTube subscribers before we'll talk with you." I'm like, a fucking 100,000?
I don't feel like you should restrict it that hardly, especially if you want to reach the most people.
Yeah,
that's our philosophy, at least, as well as whatever you're offering.
I'll just say, it wasn't someone big like EA or Ubisoft or Activision. Like, it was someone who probably, like, no. Like, if we hit 1,000, they would deal with us, but I think them demanding 100,000 is just kind of fucking insane for who it was.
Yeah, but sometimes you get those people who have that slightly inflated sense of success. Yeah.
Hey, well, I'll just continue focusing on the people who want to work with us. So.
Yeah. So what about you guys? Once your game hits and you move like a million units, and we ask you to come back, and we just be like, ah, no.
That's when we don't get a reply.
Free donuts.
Yeah, free donuts maybe.
Free Jimmy John's.
Yeah, that would work.
I don't care enough about Jimmy John's to request that.
Joe, they're in San Francisco. We know a foodie in San Francisco. I'll just hit him up. Hey, what's the best dessert to send to these guys this privately?
Oh, shit. Yeah. I wonder if you guys know him at all. Dale North?
I don't know anyone. I don't leave my apartment.
Yeah, he
retired as a games journalist, and now he's doing music for games.
Yeah. He's the former editor-in-chief of Destructoid.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But he's a musician first and foremost.
Yeah, nice. And if you follow his Twitter, it's nothing but food and corgis.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Twitter that I'd like to follow.
I think he's the guy who got the whole corgi craze started.
Oh, really?
I know he is.
Saying that, I was around San Francisco spotting a lot of corgis and getting really excited. Yeah,
there's one in our building, too.
Yeah.
Maybe it's
seen
him
walk.
Possible.
He used to semi-joke, semi-brag, I think, that when he was still working for Destructoid, companies would actually send him corgi-themed gear of their game to try and encourage him to review it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is a corgi-themed gear? Is it for corgis?
Well, they would like draw one of their characters as a corgi, or Yeah, not quite that far. Like, oh, here's a corgi jacket.
Oh, God, that'd be funny.
Corgan knitted you a sweater for your corgi with our character on the back.
I think that would have worked, actually. You would have just been impressed.
That would be hilarious, actually.
Yeah, actually, I did have another question concerning your game.
How many corgis are in it?
Appropriate.
Yeah, how many? The big question, because you talked about, you know, you kind of have to die to assume the DNA of what you've killed.
Yes. Oh, that is a main feature of a roguelike, is permanent death. So that's kind of our twist on it, is we're trying to turn it into a tool instead of just a reset.
Yeah, that was, oh, you answered my question. There we go.
Yep. Was that it?
Like, why did you guys decide, you know, like, out of all the different ways you could do that instead of unlocking skills or, you know, this and that a lot of roguelikes do, or just like the next generation, you went straight with like a DNA absorption?
So it kind of came, the very base of the game, we knew we wanted to do a roguelike game, and just as a studio, we're all pretty predisposed towards science fiction.
Yeah.
Almost every project we've worked on has had a strong base in science fiction themes, whether it's more modern or classic. And we were trying to think of ways to kind of put a twist on it, and we started thinking about death as a mechanic in roguelikes. And from there, our writer suggested the idea of cloning. Just, it fits very tightly with science fiction. It was something interesting we could base mechanics off of in a roguelike. And we just kind of went from there, came up with pieces of DNA you'd integrate into your character. What if they mutate? So then we started putting in mutations.
It just fits well into the base template of what roguelikes are. And it just adds, you know, a sense of progression over the course of the game and like multiple runs. So it kind of, it wasn't like this eureka moment. It was kind of just back and forth discussion of like, oh, this makes the most sense, basically.
That's actually really cool. And it's funny because I jumped into your game knowing nothing about it. So I was trying my damnedest to survive. And I'm like, well, shit.
You dumb bastard.
I could have just died. Been better.
Accept your fate, Pappy. Just accept your fate.
I was straight like hiding behind like fucking rocks and shit sniping.
That first map is the easiest also.
Yeah.
Jesus, okay.
But no, like also tying into the whole cloning aspect is we do have like a narrative running through the game, which is kind of totally optional. You can find what we call mementos, like scattered around the world, which kind of give insight into the world itself, like some of the items. You know, you might chance upon a dead clone, like a deceased clone variant of yourself. And the more that your character clones and mutates over time also affects your memory and like your perception of objects. So you could find, say, your dad's baseball cap that has crashed, you know, as part of the ship destruction. And the first memory she has is like a very personal recollection. Whereas like three mutations down the line, she basically doesn't even know what this object is. She's like, oh, how has this got on this alien planet?
Oh, okay. So you get further removed from your origin.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty neat.
Also, will eventually hopefully mutate towards the DNA you've integrated. So there's very specific factions in the game. Solus are the bugs. Prism are the droids. So if you integrate a bunch of the bug DNA, you'll start to get bug mutations. You might start thinking like you are a bug.
Now, could that lead to something where like the bugs won't attack you because they feel you're one of them?
We do have stuff
like
that.
We are thinking of doing some stuff like that. There's nothing in the current build.
No, we have the prism droids. Basically, it will get to the point where like some of the turrets won't attack you, or some of that
laser
traps.
Triggers might not be affected when you go through them eventually if you're fully mutated with a bunch of droid parts.
That's cool. I really like that.
Yeah, that's almost like you could, as a gamer, you could look at, okay, what am I worst against, and then start trying to mutate towards them.
Yeah.
So that you're a little easier getting through that part, those parts of the game.
Yeah, we definitely want to put a lot of strategy in that and a lot of ways for the player to kind of get a sense of progression over multiple deaths instead of just feeling like, oh, now I have to restart the game back from the beginning again.
Yeah. And it's also just letting it be more open-ended. So, yeah, you know, players can play to a specific style that they want to go down, or they can mix match. It's totally up to them.
So and you do plan though, when you die, you go right back to the very beginning.
Yes. Yes. So okay. That's kind of in world. It's described as a security measure from her ship crashing. So it was basically cheaper for the company she works for to just buy a clone bay and reclone her if she crashed on a planet and died instead of just fixing her ship.
Yeah, that's why it's the only thing that survived. Okay.
Oh,
so
God.
Been stuck on this planet for years, just constantly dying and being recloned, trying to find her beacon to escape.
And I'm guessing that there eventually is an end where you get the beacon and you get the hell out of there.
Oh, yeah, and we're planning to do multiple endings as well that will change based on how much you've mutated, which faction you're mutated towards,
and
things like that.
Even possibly how long you took to get to the end.
Especially
yeah, I was
going to
say,
if
like,
you
it'd be interesting if, you know, they come and get you and you're 90% bug.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, hey, come on board. They'd probably be like, oh, Jesus Christ, kill it.
And then they'll just eject you out of the port.
Yep,
get back on that planet. We don't want you.
I'm going to guess that leaves some opportunities to have some really fucked up endings in there.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
We aren't exactly sure how we're going to display those in game yet, but we definitely want to push those as far as we can.
Yeah.
And make it a nice treat for people to move towards.
Yeah.
Like some fun secret endings tossed in there for really obscure conditions, maybe.
Yeah, we'll have hundreds of endings. I'm saying it now.
I want the Scooby-Doo end.
Confirmed.
473 unique endings. Confirmed. We got
here.
The scoop.
You want to drive people insane, Jesus.
And there's an achievement to get every single ending.
Yep. Well, somewhere our friend and Twitch streamer Shiz is contemplating suicide.
Yeah.
That.
There's one achievement in the game worth 1,000 points, and it's to get every single ending.
Oh, God. And then we gift him the game, so he has to play it.
Yep.
He doesn't have to get the achievements, or is he just one of those guys?
He's like one of those guys.
Okay. Yep.
I used to be that way on Xbox.
Even better, 2 achievements in the game, 1 point when you start the game. And then $9.99 when you get all 473 endings.
I like that.
That would be the biggest dick move in video game history.
You gotta earn it.
You would actually make almost all of your money from people gifting it to other people just to
yeah.
Novelty sales.
And the name of the achievement, the 1-pointer when it pops up, it just says earn it, bitch. Oh, that'd be incredible.
Which is, it is funny though. There are a lot of like pseudo novelty games out there now that are just, it's someone made, went, this amused me. Let me see if anyone will buy it, you know.
Yep. Goat Simulator.
Yeah.
Yeah, goats. Shower with Your Dad Simulator.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Jesus.
The genital jousting.
I just played a game this week called There's Poop in My Soup because it was.
Oh, I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah. You play the whole game in 20 minutes and you're done forever. And you're like, yeah, I just spent 20 minutes spitting poop on random passerby.
What the fuck?
You're a little kid with an ass for a face and you shoot out turds, and the game's goals are like, hit one bicyclist, I'll get it into this guy's soup, or hit 10 people in a row, and it's just, and eventually you unlock like diarrhea and soup and poop fireworks and stuff. It's
Pappy, your new mission is to get that guy on our show.
It's a novelty game though. That's all it is. You know, someone went, this is funny, and let me sell it. You know, and it's actually in Steam's like top 20 right now.
Wow,
that's incredible.
Video games have come so far.
I gotta look for this now.
Yeah. Well, I sorted most popular by most recent release. Is how I found it. And it was 89 cents. So,
oh, like, God, well, even better.
And can we even do anything else with video games now that you can spit poop soup at people? Like,
yeah,
I think we're done as an industry. I think that's...
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. You might as well
Beacon
just
is officially canceled. It's the dream is over.
The rename
the poop
will
soup.
Be... The new game they're working on will be Butkin.
How to find that
fart
butt
on your enemies. Yeah.
You mutate into different asses. You need to get the unique ass DNA.
So, since you guys are currently working in the field, what do you think about the fact that pretty much anyone can make something and sell it? Do you see that as a good thing, or do you kind of wish there was a little bit more?
Well, that's the reason we're able to do this as well. I've never had a job in the real industry, I would say. I've just done freelance, but Aaron used to work at Ubisoft, so.
Yeah, I've had experience before in like AAA. I worked on The Crew, that open world racing game. And before that on Forza Horizon, the first one on 360.
You're my friend now. I love Forza Horizon so much.
I was like a track designer on that game. So I've had like some decent experience in, I guess, quotation marks, the AAA industry. But I don't know, like it's great that like a lot of people that would never, you know, try and get into video games, at least the development side, can do that now because, you know, tools are much more accessible. I think that's great. I think that's great for everybody. But we've got the unfortunate problem now of like oversaturation.
Yeah.
And a lot of games that, you know, were, you know, interesting, like have a cool gimmick that would sell, you know, moderately well are now just being completely glossed over because they're not like shouting loud enough. You know, they're not doing enough to get attention drawn to them.
They just might not have the experience with marketing.
Yeah, or like it's so much more cutthroat now. Like you have to really, really, really push and make like the best looking game, the best sounding game, the best marketed game. Like every aspect has to be like top notch to get your name out there.
And even then you might not break
through. No, yeah, like it's so much harder. And now because the floodgates have opened on Steam with Greenlight, it's almost impossible to find like a really interesting game, you know, randomly on the storefront if you've never read about it in like, you know, some of the publications. Like if it's not got any news, it's like, how do you know it's any good?
Yeah.
Well, I even have a hard time. I sort by horror, and like by page two, I'm getting shit for, you know, dating simulators. So I'm like, come on, guys. Like, what?
Yeah.
I think that's abusing the tags on Steam.
Yeah, but I'm like,
well,
someone's got to be in charge of making sure the tags are accurate because, you know, I'm looking for a legit horror game. I don't want to play Hey Tofu Boyfriend. You know?
I think Greenlight is completely automated now, though, so they might be able to just jam every single tag on the store on it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you can see that, you know, which it is. It's very hard because I constantly want to just jump in and play a game that's worth my time.
Yeah.
And it's guesswork.
It is. And I'd like to think that maybe the consoles have a slightly more gated, controlled storefront. Like Sony and Microsoft hopefully are a bit more careful with kinds of games that they want on their platform. I have no idea if that's true, but
I'd say it has to be a lot better because it's not like we get 70 new games a week and
yeah, exactly.
40 of them are just trash $1 games.
With ID at Xbox, I think they do a good job kind of vetting the game before. They're like, hey, we're really interested in it because we think this game is going to be worth playing. Not, oh, hey, we just heard you're working on a game. Why don't you throw it over to Sony?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there is some shit that sneaks through, but it's not like it's just shit that was thrown together in an afternoon. It's just inexperienced developers that just didn't make a good game.
Yeah. Like, and that's hard because, you know, those developers have probably put in a lot of work, but they just don't understand, you know, quality control, playtesting, iterating on game design and feedback and stuff like that. Because
the number one thing we've learned is from the developers is playtesting means getting other people to play your game.
Yeah.
GDC was free playtesting for us.
That's awesome. Yeah, because a couple of times people would mention, like, yeah, I was playtesting. I didn't think it was that hard. And then I hand it off to somebody else, and they're like, I can't get past level one.
It's, yeah, wildly different, yeah.
You hand it to someone else, and they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Do you not understand how hard this game is? Or do you not understand how shitty this game? No. It's my baby. Uh-huh. I spent all my life working on it. Well, fuck you and fuck your dreams.
All my life working on it. You're 12. Yeah. A hard worker.
Oh, my Lord. Well, I know we are creeping up to an hour here. Is there anything you guys wanted to talk about in regards to the game?
We talked about Instant off butt mutations.
Butt mutations.
It's all about butt mutations.
I mean, you guys are welcome to use that. I mean, anytime.
make that one of the secret mutations. You just turn into an ass.
Just a floating butt.
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
We were talking about a mutation today we're going to put in soon where you grow a bug wiener off of your spine. And now when you dodge roll, then that butt wiener will fire a nice goose shot out.
Oh my god.
Well, I will be buying your game day one.
Our colleague is looking at us in horror right now as well.
Oh, he hasn't heard of that one yet.
Well, too damn
that's,
bad. It's
that's
going
live
game.
Feedback right on this show. Just staring at you. What the hell is. Are you drunk right now? Oh my god, that sounds fantastic. Although the game is now immediately bumped up to an AO rating.
Oh no, it's a nice glowing green bug wiener. It's not going to be super graphic, but
yeah,
still a wiener.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Well, if you put a floating butt in there, all we want is a special thanks in the credits.
Okay,
that's all.
Sure,
we're good with that.
We can make that happen.
Oh my god, it has been a pleasure talking with you guys. Anytime you want to come on and talk more about the game, by all means, hit us up. We would love to have you back on. I guess, anything else you want to say or any final words for our listeners?
I guess, well, we'll be doing like regular updates, hopefully, about the game over the next couple coming months. So yeah, check out our website, check out our development blog.
Give us some links. Spit out some links right now. Give us, where can we find you?
Monothetic.com, evblog.monothetic.com, at Monothetic on Twitter, Facebook/Monothetic.
Anything Monothetic. If you just type in Monothetic game.
Hopefully it would be the first result on Google now. I'm not sure about Beacon, but Monothetic definitely.
Type that in. Just says, did you mean black cock or something?
Well,
did you mean butt
it's time? Number it's yeah. Number two after the Wiktionary.
Oh, aww. Man.
Let's work there. On that. Come on, Google. Get your shit together.
We do have a lot of people saying that they think the game is called Bacon. I'm not like too bothered by that because, you know, Bacon's pretty great. So that's a good reminder for them. Then sure.
Now, that is clearly a mutation that needs to be in the game.
Yes.
A bacon mutation.
And you're just constantly sizzling.
Leave a trail of grease behind you.
Yeah.
And that's a secret achievement. That's your third achievement. Become the bacon.
Become the bacon.
I thought it was called bacon.
Yes. Perfect.
Oh, my Lord. Again, thank you guys so much for coming on. It has been an absolute pleasure, and hopefully we hear from you guys again soon.
Yeah, no problem.
Certainly. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Indeed. Have a good one, guys.
Bye.
Oh, that was fun.
I don't have... Oh, I've actually blocked a Twitter account.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Good times. So,
yeah,
how about we do a quick giveaway to end this episode?
One or two.
We'll each do one.
We got 30 minutes, so
yeah. But I want to make sure I could save this file because we are clearly recording our shows in order.
Yes. All right. So I have spareware open right now.
Sounds good. Do it up, son.
All right. Spareware.
So with this, we wanted people to send us an email at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. And tell us why they wanted the game Spareware. And let me double check. I think we have one code for that game.
And an angry dog.
No, we have two codes for Spareware. That's right. Two. So I will jot down these names as you read them off.
All right. We got four entries
and a dog.
Seriously, I can hear that dog.
It's the neighbor. I can't help it. No one else can hear it. Just you.
No, I'm just
you are clearly
out
losing your mind right now. It is it only out. You.
All right, so Daniel Quinn.
Win.
Quinn. It's like
yes.
The title of the game.
By the way,
Spareware.
He has entered every single contest this week. So props to Daniel Wynn for following us and entering everything.
Well, yeah, because I think he's gotten shafted a couple of times. So
I don't remember.
So. Anyhow, the title of the game, Spareware, makes me think of the spyware and ransomware virus. I recently had to get a new computer because I got the ransomware virus somehow. I wasn't going to pay $1,000 to restore access to my laptop. I just spent the money to buy a new one. Hey, that's a reason.
That is. That is a reason.
Alex Cat. I'd love a copy of Spareware because I absolutely love twin-stick shooters, and Geometry Wars Retro Evolved is one of my favorite games ever made, and I played it for years, all caps, working towards getting all the achievements until I finally got that last achievement of getting 1 million points without dying. I was in middle school when the game came out, and after putting hundreds of hours into it, I was so happy when I finally got it to pop. And I continue to play it to this day now that it's backwards compatible on Xbox One. Nice. I love twin-stick shooters and hope to one day find one that will hook me as hard and as long as that one did. Smiley face.
All right. So, Geometry Wars fan, have that written down. All right, next one.
Jordan Phipps. Hey,
Jordan again.
I want the spareware code because even though I have the game, I would love to have an extra code to either give away or trade. Also, I want the code because I love Pappy and I know he won't let me down. Pappy rules. Joe, you're awesome too. Happy belated birthday. Talk to you guys later.
Oh, brown nosing.
Yeah, that was the route.
Yeah.
Cole Martin. Hi, guys. Joe says I can just email with why I want spareware and it might count, so my reasoning for wanting it is because it has local co-op, and I feel like I'd have better luck convincing my husband to play it with me since there's robots and not space bunnies. He won't play Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time with me. Sad face.
Aw.
All right. So this is a tough one.
So we could pick two winners out of this. Jordan, I think, sorry, dude, we appreciate the brown nosing, but you have it. So,
yeah, that's the only, because I'm like, I do appreciate the brown nosing. I really do. But
so it comes down to someone who got spyware, a Geometry Wars fan, and someone who likes local co-op and wants to play a game with their husband. I want to say, as someone who just celebrated my 8th wedding anniversary, I can understand the need to want to play a game with someone you love. So I think Cole should get a copy.
I also think that the husband is kind of a dick that he doesn't want to play a game just because there's bunnies in it.
Yeah, some people just aren't into it.
Come on, man. It doesn't make you less of a man just because there's bunnies. But, yeah, now you're going to play some spareware. All right, now this is a tough one. Yeah, Alex loves the shit out of Twin Sticks. And Daniel, dude, had to buy a new laptop.
Part of me, just because I know how many more contests Daniel has entered, I think we should give this one to Alex. Because Daniel still has four more chances to win codes from us.
All right. All right.
So.
But I'm going to remember that for when we read off more contests.
Sounds good. That's fair. But Alex and Cole, you are the two winners for Spareware. Thank you so much for your entries. The next one we are going to give away is 101 Ways to Die. We only have one code here, so we're going to have to pick one lucky winner here.
How many entries?
I don't know yet because I just open the email now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Jesus. So, yes, that's right.
Yes, potato. Out. That is the proper reply to that. So first one is from Jordan Phipps. Once again, he says, hi, Joe and Pappy. I would love to win 101 Ways to Die because I just recently had the game slip through my fingers. I was entered in a Twitch chat raffle, and right as I was taking my son to school, they announced the winner, which wasn't me. So we had to go, and I later found out that person wasn't active in chat, as was the next person, and the third person who won the raffle, which was me. Since I was taking my son to school, I wasn't active in the chat either, and I was passed over for the next person. Hopefully it was all meant to be, and I could win the game some other way. Thanks, guys.
So that'll teach you to have kids.
Yeah, that'll learn you. So Jordan, who is a loser. Hey, that is an accurate note for that.
That sucks, though. That definitely sucks. Like, oh, hey, I didn't win. Let's take the kid to school. And shit, I could have won, you know.
Next email's from John Beta, a.k.a. Major Loki on Chiz's Twitch streams. He says, I would like to win because Eternal Rage wins too many giveaways. who, by the way, just won Spareware. So. Oh, my God. Next is Daniel Wynn. See, I told you he was entered in more stuff. He says, well, I could probably think of 101 sick and sadistic ways for people to die. Having their face smashed in by a bat named Lucille, being sucked into a wood chipper face first, just to name a few. So he's a murderer.
I've got my my clear-cut winner so far.
Next is Jake Cooper, who says, well, he entered for this and another one. He says, I would take a code for either game. Nice. Both look fun, and I'm poor. Help a friend out. Thanks, Jake. So, poor, that's always a good excuse. I could sympathize with that.
For me, that might help with the other game that he entered, but...
Yeah. Next is Lana Lokers. Welcome back, Lana. I love games like this, setting up traps and Rube Goldberg-esque setups and seeing plans go off without a hitch. I would love to play this game. Awesome name drop of Rube Goldberg, because that's basically what the game is. And then Laura Tran says, I want to win 101 Ways to Die because I'm looking forward to dying in so many different ways.
Short and sweet.
Wants to die. Suicidal.
Oh, God.
All right. So we have Jordan, who wanted the game but already lost. We have John, who wants to win so that Eternal Rage doesn't, even though she's not entered in this one. We have Daniel Wynn, who wants to murder things and likes to murder things in various ways. Jake, who is too poor to afford it. Lana,
on my doors. I'm voting for Daniel.
I was kind of thinking of Lana here with her enjoying of Rube Goldberg-esque designs, and then Laura, who wants to die in various ways. What are you just off getting your food now? Yeah, you are. You piece of shit.
Yeah, no, I'm listening.
Yeah.
Hey, food's here.
So you vote Daniel, I vote Lana. I think I'm just going to flip a coin.
All right, heads is Daniel.
Do you have a coin?
Well, I got a shit ton of them on the other side of the room.
I found one. It is heads, so it looks like Daniel wins it.
Woo!
So, apologies to Lana. I was voting for you, but it
Lana!
Looks like... Lana! It was just not meant to be this time. Daniel Wynn, you win 101 Ways to Die. We are going to end this episode here. We hope you enjoyed listening to the interview with the guys from Beacon. I figure music for this episode will just play a couple of more songs from Chronicles of Time, because really, why the fuck not? What do you think?
Oh, that sounds good to me, because, you know, you're still on disc 2 of 20.
Yeah, pretty much. And thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed our episodes this week, and we'll see you next week, I guess. Yeah. Peace. Do you have any final words, Pappy?
I got sushi. I'm excited.
Thank you. Bye.